This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
I would rather go the long way. I would rather interview Bolton. I would rather interview a lot of people. The problem with John is that it's a national security problem. You know, you can't have somebody who's at national security. And if you think about it, John, he knows some of my thoughts. He knows what I think about leaders. What happens if he reveals what I think about a certain leader and it's not very positive, and that I have to deal on behalf of the country? It's going to be very hard. It's going to make the job very hard. He knows other things. And I don't know if we left on the best of the terms. I would say probably not, you know. And so you don't like people testifying when they didn't leave on good terms, and that was due to me, not due to him. And so we'll see what happens. But when you have a national security, you could call it presidential prerogative. You could just call it, the way I look at it, I call it national security for national security reasons. Executive privilege, they say. So that would, John would certainly fit into that. When you're a national security advisor, like this gentleman is doing a fantastic job, Robert, I just think it's very hard. And I've always gotten along. I've actually gotten along with John Bolton. He didn't get along with other people, a lot of other people. But when he knows my thoughts on certain people and other governments, and we're talking about massive trade deals and war and peace and all these different things that we talk about, that's really a very important national security problem, I think, having somebody. Other people, Mick Mulvaney is probably around here someplace. I'd love to have
That's
Mick.
The president talking about John Bolton, of course, former national security advisor John Bolton, who the Democrats want to hear from during the impeachment trial. Welcome back to the show, The Cioli Show, on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. The president did a press conference at Davos, and it's the first time the president has spoken about impeachment since the trial started yesterday. So, and the question, of course, is whether or not John Bolton will testify. Now, over at the Drudge Report, they have a link to a story from the Washington Post. Senate Democrats privately mull witness trade in impeachment trial. Biden for Bolton. So the Republicans get to hear from a Biden, whether it's Joe Biden or it's Hunter Biden, his son. And the Democrats would then get to hear from former National Security Advisor John Bolton and his mustache. So that is the question, and whether or not that will happen. And the president does not want John Bolton to testify because of the national security implications. And he will most likely invoke executive privilege to shield John Bolton from testifying. I would assume he would do that. So that is the issue right there with John Bolton testifying and or in exchange for the Bidens testifying. So that's the latest from that. That was sort of the big takeaway. I think everything else you've kind of heard before. The president calling Gerald Nadler a real sleazebag, and of course Shifty Shift, and saying a lot of these people are very corrupt and he's exposing the corruption. And there you go. That's kind of the latest from there. Some of the reactions from the media last night were just amazing. Chris Matthews got this weird fascination with Alan Dershowitz. You notice how Matthews gets these weird fascinations with people and things?
He does, all the time. Right? It is so bizarre. Like, he picks these people you would never think that he would pick, and he would just, like he almost, like, salivates over them.
Yeah, it's strange, yeah. And, I mean, this guy is just, he's a therapist's dream, I think, Chris Matthews.
No, I don't know about that. But
get this guy on the couch and start talking, you know what I mean? Cut two.
Alan Dershowitz does not represent the Republican Party. He represents academia, maybe the best-known lawyer in the country. He represents Harvard, the East Coast establishment. He is not like those frat boys that were going defending the president during the House hearings. He's not like Mark Meadows and those guys and Gates. He's not one of them. He doesn't look like one of them. He's academia. He's Northeastern. He's Harvard. He's the guy that got Klaus von Bülow off. He's reversal of fortune. He was in the OJ dream team. When he came in and said there's no crime, therefore no impeachable offense, that changed the nature of the whole game here. It's not about process. The story all weekend, the transition game was won by the defense, because the whole topic became, can you impeach a president who hasn't committed a crime? And to the right wing, or to the Trumpites, that's a good talking point.
to the non-attentive voter, I think Trump always loves the low information guy, the Dancing with the Stars, who cares more about Harry and Meghan or about Brad and Jennifer. And there are a lot more people, by the way. Watch the other channels. They care about those topics. It works.
That's Matthews insulting America while praising Alan Dershowitz.
Yes.
Right? Wow. Insulting everybody while praising one person, Alan Dershowitz. In the process of praising Dershowitz, he managed to call everybody else an idiot everywhere, right?
Totally.
In 1 minute, he just took a blowtorch to all of America except Alan Dershowitz.
Insulted everybody except Alan Dershowitz. To build up Dershowitz insulting you, me, your friends, your neighbor, everybody, everyone else.
But 30 seconds on Alan Dershowitz just like, oh my
God. He's East Coast. They love him. He's Harvard. He's not like these idiots. I mean, he's Harvard and he knows books. He reads. He can write things with his hands. Well, he knows great penmanship. You ever see his penmanship? It's amazing.
Lovely.
Got books he can read. I mean, you go to his house, there's books. And he's read them. Many of those books have broken spines. He's read them again. He's broken those books. This man has never even had an overdue library book. I'm telling you right now. Dershowitz returns library books a day early. That's what he believes in. Not like these idiot frat boys in the house. Those guys, what they do is they pee on books. That's what they do.
They don't, I don't know about that.
That may not be true.
That's not true.
855-839-1210. Yes, well, that's Chris Matthews' weird fascination with that. Let's see here now. MSNBC decided to kick off their impeachment coverage yesterday with a movie-style trailer. And this is what you do with TV money, I guess, when you got all kinds of production and everything else.
Donald Trump on trial. For only the third time in history, an American president impeached. Charged with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress.
This thing is a big hoax. It's a big hoax.
He will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office.
Today, the impeachment trial of Donald Trump.
Dun, dun, dun.
What?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun.
I like that trail off at the end.
That was a long trail off. And Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda's in that, too, I believe. The very, very end. You can see Baby Yoda.
We have to do a Zioli trailer of the coverage.
Should. We act. You know what? That's a great idea. We should. And just an over-the-top.
Yes.
They're serious, but we'll be mocking it, of course. The names you know and love. Gerald Nadler. No, actually, you've never heard of him.
No.
Adam Schiff.
Nobody loves
him. No one knows who he is. No one on Jeopardy knew who he was. I like that, actually.
The people nobody in America cares about.
The people no one in America cares about because you're all a bunch of idiots, according to Chris Matthews.
So is he sucking? I love the music.
The drama. What was that?
No, I just think Matthews, maybe he's sucking up to the Dersh to get him on his show.
Ooh, you're right. They're probably a good point, right? They said, well, Chris, if you want him, you got to go out there and say nice things about him. He went, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think in his own way, Matthews is he saying mic drop? Like Dershowitz said, it just doesn't matter, like the meatballs defense. So listen to the Dersh, like it's over. But he can't come out and say, Matthews can't come out and say that because he'll get like fired. Right.
Yeah, I don't know if Matthews
is
I don't know. I don't know if he even knows. I think he's trying to talk Dershowitz out of it, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe that's a strategy. I think what he's trying to do actually is say, come back to the Martha's Vineyard crowd.
Yes.
Right? That's probably more what it's about.
You clam chowder.
Like you're not like these frat boy idiots, right?
Yes.
So reject this.
Oh, that's good.
I know from firsthand knowledge that Chris Matthews does vacation on the vineyard. So you tapped into something. You're 100% right there.
Yeah.
Come to my house.
Yes, come
to my
back.
House.
Come
right.
back to us, Alan. We love you.
Right. Come back to the dark side, Alan. It's not too late. Together we can rule the kingdom of MSNBC together. I mean, I think he was at one point maybe even an MSNBC legal analyst for them. And
oh, yeah, he's been on.
You know, he voted for Hillary Clinton. This is the Dersh trying to play the old Jedi mind trick on him to get him back, you know, back
Alan
into the
fold. Dershowitz does not represent the Republican Party. He represents academia, maybe the best known lawyer in the country. He represents Harvard, the East Coast establishment.
Yeah.
He is not like those frat boys that were going defending the president during the House hearings. He's not
those guys with beer bugs on their head and they're doing keg stands. He's not like that. He drinks Chablis with the rest of us in Martha's Vineyard.
I mean, these are
right.
House members that have been elected by.
I mean, he is definitely reaching out. He's given the Dersh a smoke signal here, right? Come back.
Yes.
Drink Chablis with us in Martha's Vineyard. We miss you.
He's not like Mark Meadows and those guys and Gates. He's not one of them. He doesn't look like one of them. He's academia. He's Northeastern.
Look like them.
He's Harvard.
What does
he's
that
the
mean?
Guy that got Klaus von Bülow off. He's reversal of fortune. He was in the OJ Dream Team. When he came in and said there's no crime, therefore no impeachable offense, that changed the nature of the whole game here. It's not about process. The story all weekend, the transition game was won by the defense because the whole topic became, can you impeach a president who hasn't committed a crime? And to the right wing, or to the Trumpites, that's a good talking point. To the non-attentive voter, I think Trump always loves the low information guy, the dancing with the stars, who cares more about Harry and Meghan or about Brad and Jennifer. And there are a lot more people, by the way. Watch the other channels. They care about those topics. It works.
Yeah, Brad and Jennifer. That's the that's who they're appealing to. Now, the other question, too, that I think everybody wants to know right now is that as you look at all of this coverage, where did the media go in saying who won and who lost? And I have to tell you, honestly, that if you tuned out like I did, because it was so freaking boring and I wanted to spend my time with my children and my family and just not watch this all day, you try to understand how did people rate the day, right? How did people kind of rate the day and how did they look at it? And shockingly enough, I know, and this is going to shock you, they believed very, very much that the Democrats won the day. Round one of the impeachment show, Norah O'Donnell at CBS. The Democrats basically now marveled at their success here.
And we got round one in this preview of the House Democratic managers versus the White House. We had Adam Schiff up there for more than 40-something minutes, according to my notes, 17 full screens laying out details. There was video of the president saying he would be happy to have everybody testify. Chairman Schiff's presentation, I mean, the full screen that said, you know, that zero documents have been presented by the White House. They had full screens with pictures of every White House official that has that the president directed not to testify. I mean, trying to put his argument essentially on full screen in graphics for not only the senators, 100 senators, but for the American people.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Norah O'Donnell, for that, calling it right up the middle coverage right there from CBS News. We're so glad about that.
Wow.
Shocking, right? 855-839-1210. You know what? Let's speaking of Harry and Meghan, we decided to do a little Dr. Phil action on Harry and Meghan because I could care less. I couldn't care less, whatever it is. And from my perspective, I think that they're all crazy. But what I'm hearing right now is that Meghan, there was something in the news, and I think that she's an illegal immigrant to Canada, and she might be being sent to Gitmo and tortured. I'd be all for that, I think, at this point.
I don't think that's correct. No.
Bill, is there news on Meghan and Harry and nothing?
No.
No? Dawn, anything new?
Well, Canada did come out and say that they're like refugees. They have to stand in line for the Canada has very strict citizenship and border control.
Right.
So they're saying, look, you can't just show up and expect to be here. You got to stand in line to get your citizenship.
Yeah, you can't just. Who the hell do you think you are? Right.
That's
is basically
right.
What they're saying.
Couple of millennials.
And the Queen, like the mother in Arthur, is just sitting there. You know, Arthur, you'll never get this money again.
That's right.
Harry. You're never going to get this money again,
yep.
Harry. Well, we decided to do a little, you know, what would happen if the royal family, if Dr. Phil could intervene here a little bit.
No.
Yeah,
no,
really?
If Dr. Phil could intervene a little bit with the royal family.
Yeah.
And normally I wouldn't do this, but so that we don't kill ourselves with impeachment coverage and literally we just don't have our brains melt with boredom. I figure it's a good time to do a little psychological evaluation here.
Today on Dr. Phil, as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle threaten to leave their royal life behind, Dr. Phil gets real with Queen Elizabeth.
This family is so dysfunctional as to be criminal.
But the Queen is in denial.
All the grandchildren like it.
Dr. Phil tries to put the Queen in Harry and Meghan's shoes.
I wonder if they sit over at their house and say, oh, okay, we gotta go over there to Hoity Toity's house.
You won't believe the rules the Queen lays down for Meghan.
She can't have friends. friends. Must check in if she goes anywhere. Waste electricity doing her hair.
So there are some disadvantages to crowns.
Plus a surprise appearance from Prince William as he begs his brother not to leave.
I've seen the way the corgis get told off when they're in trouble, so you know I don't want to go there.
So join Dr. Phil as he asks the royal family,
what is it that's so special about you?
That's Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see that. We're tuning into that.
That
later
is good
today.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
The first time I watched Dr. Phil in years.
In years, right? Good time for us to do our movie clip of the day. Am I right, Bill?
Yes.
Yes, a good time for us to do the mystery movie clip.
The Morning Mystery Clip. Yeah! On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
There's a very small country in the West Indies. I mean, small.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah. It's terribly small. Tiny little country. Rhode Island could beat the crap out of it in a war. That's how small it is.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
The great prize is we're still doing the women, right? Right, Bill? The women thing?
Yep.
All right, good. So it's a pair of tickets to a woman of no importance.
It's a great show.
A pair of tickets to A Woman of No Importance at the Walnut Street Theater. I had a stall. I didn't have the copy in front of me. Now through March 1st. For tickets and details, visit walnutstreettheater.org. Good luck, and you got to get that one, all right? Good luck. Very good. Now, we're doing an hour of nonstop talk. I'm going to play a couple more clips from the president at Davos. I was given a challenge earlier by the greater Chris on Twitter. He said, is this even a topic that I, meaning me, Zioli, that I can't even make entertaining and compelling. I'm up for the challenge. I have no doubts that we can make impeachment interesting, funny, and entertaining at the same time.
What have we been doing all morning?
I believe that we have. I think so.
What an insult.
Well, he said it very early on in the show.
Okay.
So,
right, okay.
He said it early on, and he was a little cranky at the time, so it's okay. But look, the president's not in a bad mood. He doesn't seem fazed by this or worried about this. So I'm happy now that we can make this to be an engaging and interesting subject. So just sit tight and be tuned in.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
Jay Sekulow did a great job yesterday of bringing the thunder at certain moments during the very, very boring impeachment hearing. Jay Sekulow is a member of the president's legal defense team. He demolished Adam Schiff by quoting Adam Schiff. And this is a key point. Demolished Adam Schiff's arguments on executive privilege by quoting Adam Schiff on executive privilege. And this is just fantastic because anytime you can show that Adam Schiff is a hypocrite, it's fun. And Jay Sekulow did it very well. Cut five.
Members. Managers. Right here. Before you today, who have said that executive privilege and constitutional privileges have no place in these proceedings, on June 28, 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder became the first United States Attorney General to be held in both civil and criminal contempt. Why? Because President Obama asserted executive privilege. With respect to the Holder contempt proceedings, Mr. Manager Schiff wrote, the White House assertion of privilege is backed by decades of precedent that has recognized the need for the president and his senior advisors to receive candid advice and information from their top aides. Indeed, that's correct. Not because Manager Schiff said it, but because the Constitution requires it. Mr. Manager Nadler said that the effort to hold Eric Holder, Attorney General Holder, in contempt for refusing to comply with various subpoenas was, quote, politically motivated, and Speaker Pelosi called the Holder matter, and I quote, a little more than a witch hunt. What are we dealing with here? Why are we here?
Great question.
Are we here because of a phone call? Or are we here before this great body because since the president was sworn into office, there was a desire to see him removed?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question. Why are we here? And I think the American people are asking that question, especially people that don't follow politics all that much. Nobody's changing their minds, and nothing is moving the needle. Nothing, 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 nothing. If you want the president removed, you still want him removed today. If you don't want the president removed yesterday, you don't want him removed today. Nothing is going to change people's minds. The only question is, what are the ramifications of this? And I agree with my buddy Nick Gillespie over at Reason.com. And remember, I love going to sites that I don't always agree with on everything because it gives me a different perspective. And he wrote about this and he said, you know, the problem is we're going to wind up hating government even more because of this impeachment trial. And then the result of that is historically around the world, as hatred and distrust of people's own government rises, so does the government's inclination to become more regulatory and more authoritarian. And that's the problem. Gillespie, who's a libertarian, says, well, shouldn't libertarians love the fact that people are going to hate the government even more? No, he says, I've documented over the years how far and fast trust and confidence in various parts of the federal government has fallen. In 1964, for instance, 77% of Americans agreed that they trusted the government in Washington always or most of the time. As of last year, that figure stood at 17%. When it comes to the presidency, trust has toppled from 73% in 1972 to 45%. For Congress, the drop is even worse, plummeting from 71% trust in 1972 to 38% trust in 2019. Trust in the Supreme Court has followed the same general trend, even if its numbers are better. In 1988, 56% of us had a high degree of trust in the Supreme Court, but 30 years later, that figure clocked in at 37%. And the problem is that as our tendency to distrust the government goes, and you might think, well, you know, that's good, right? This is a blessing. Evacuating trust and confidence in the federal government is surely a precondition for radically reducing government growth and power, right? No, that's not how things work. Again, and in countries all over the world, declines in trust of government correlate strongly with calls for more government regulation in more parts of our lives. Individuals in low-trust countries want more government intervention, even though they know the government is corrupt, according to a study by the authors of a 2010 Quarterly Journal of Economics paper. That's certainly the case in the United States, where the size, scope, and spending of government has vastly increased over exactly the same period in which trust and confidence in the government has cratered. In 2018, I talked to Andrei Schleifer, a Harvard economist who grew up in the Soviet Union before coming to America. Why do citizens ask a government they don't believe in to bring order? His answer was they want regulation. They want a dictator who will bring back order. Now, you think about stuff that's going on just locally, breaking from the article for a second, like New Jersey banning flavored vaping products, the federal government going after raising the age to buy tobacco. It's like we trust government less. We want them to regulate us more. And so as our trust in government declines, the effect of saying not leave us alone, the effect becomes bring more regulations to try to make our lives easier and better. And that's something that happens. And so the result of this trial, I think, is that nothing's going to change with the president, right? He's not going to be removed from office. And if you hate him, you're still going to hate him. If you love him, you're still going to love him. But what is going to happen is that we're going to wind up hating government even more. I mean, just watching this, you wind up hating government. Going, there are a bunch of elitist, overpaid buffoons in the middle of the workday who aren't working, and we're paying for this little nonsense, this theatrical show. And yes, I hate them all, and that's how we're going to feel about it. But the problem is that as we do that and we start to ignore government, they start doing more things behind our backs to make our lives more complicated, more regulated, and the old police state happens too. Right. We stop paying attention to what they're doing and they start doing things with the power we've given them, which results in what you saw, I believe, in 2015 and 2016, vis-a-vis trying to take the president out with a series of spying and investigations. 855-839-1210. That is the problem right there with all of this. We are going to wind up hating our government even more, hating Congress even more. They look like buffoons up there. You know what I mean? And there's nobody watching this going, whoa, well, this is a really, really a regal process. Even Chief Justice John Roberts had to drop the hammer yesterday and smack them around, as only Chief Justice John Roberts can do. And he was mad. He ripped the robe off. He threw it down. He started yelling at people.
I don't think that's true.
Not true?
No.
Well, I'll play the audio in a second, and you can decide. Mike is in South Jersey. Yes, Mike.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? I don't normally agree with everything you say as a registered Democrat, but I think you're right on about the point with government. I think that everybody in America They don't want government around until they need them. And then when they need them, they cry poor. They need their help. So I agree with you on that point. I don't agree with Route 47 being shut down and Wildwood and all that yesterday. I think that was a little bit of a baby move, but that's just me.
So in my theory that they're shutting it down to make life miserable for the Trump people coming to the rally, you don't buy that?
Well, I just think that, you know, it works both ways. It cuts both ways. I think you talked about Bridgegate, and I think that was good. And I think that, you know, I just think that I look at Fox News yesterday and I find out that
focus on my show, not Fox News. You don't think it's possible for New Jersey DOT to start this?
I think anything is possible, okay? I think that Van Drew flipping is very, very possible. And I think that Trump has taken an opportunity to get down there and secure that deal. I know a whole lot about what goes on in politics in New Jersey. I absolutely do. And I don't, as a Democrat, I don't agree with what's going on with our country right now. I think that maybe Van Drew was right about a censorship, okay? But I don't think that, you know, the state of New Jersey and Phil Murphy's down there plotting and scheming to shut down 47. I think there's multiple ways if people want to get the Wildwood, they can get the Wildwood.
Right. So okay, in other words, hang on. Waiting a week to shut down a major road, which is going to impact 100,000 people coming to Wildwood next week. Waiting a week, what? Nobody knows the rally's going on? No, nobody thought of this? Nobody could conjure up the idea of maybe just waiting a week? Come on, Mike. Suck it up and get down there. That's what everybody in Fort Lee said. And your people made it a federal case, literally.
And look what happened in Fort Lee. Yeah, who got iced for that?
Yeah, but that's my point.
You had some minor player get iced for that, and the big guy didn't go down for that. You know what I'm saying? This is how it always goes in our government. You know what I mean? I don't disagree. I think that maybe the guy should have been censored. Okay?
Okay, so you don't think President Trump should be impeached. So you don't think President Trump should be impeached. You think censured.
I think that the impeachment process, no matter what is going to happen, the Republicans agree that it is not an impeachable offense. So no matter what they say or do to Democrats at this point, it's not going to register with them. That's what's happening. Okay.
All right.
It has nothing to do with the president. It has to do with our Senate. It has to do with our House. It has to do with these people with all these these terms that they're in. They're locked in right now. They could care less about what's going on to the American people and the government right now. All they care about is securing their seats in the next election. That's all this is about.
Yes. Okay? That's why we need term limits. That's why we need term limits. Don't you agree with that?
I totally
agree. This is how two Jersey
that,
guys discuss things. This is what happens.
I think it's a series of talking over each other and going, shut up, zip it.
Sorry, go ahead. What?
Yeah, I appreciate you keeping me on the show for this long, but I'm telling you right now.
The audience doesn't. They hate me for it.
The term limits are where it's at. Look, you got a Democrat on the phone. I'm trying to tell you that I don't disagree with you guys.
I get it.
I don't know how.
Yes.
I just don't understand how left-leaning liberals don't see that we need some restrictions lifted to get construction moving to keep the economy moving. I don't see that. I don't agree with the social platform. I really don't agree with the Republican social platform. That's fine. That's my opinion. But I'm telling you, from an economic standpoint, everybody cares about their kids and their money, okay? And if you're starting – and nobody in the Democratic Party is talking about our money right now. They're talking about giving it away, and that turns me off.
Good. I mean, thank you for sharing that, Mike, as a Democrat. I appreciate that, and we appreciate you saying all that stuff, so thank you. Anything else,
Mike?
Yeah,
I'll talk to you later, buddy. Have a good day, man. Thanks for keeping me on.
Okay,
I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Okay, bye. That ended very abruptly, like he had to go.
It's 8 o'clock. Maybe
he's being chased or something, or right?
Maybe he went off work.
Like people were recognizing him. Mike, are you on with Zioli? No. I gotta go. I gotta run. But you gotta open your eyes. This 47 Delcy Drive thing ain't no coincidence, man. I spent my entire life growing up in Jersey, and most of my career in Jersey politics. There's no such thing as coincidences in New Jersey when it comes to things like this. Sorry, but come on. Well, as the old saying goes, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. 855-839-1210. All right, now listen, we're doing nonstop talk, and I'm going to play something very, very important for you. John Roberts giving a smackdown.
What?
Smacking down. Telling these bums this ain't the way it is. John Roberts got insane yesterday at the Senate trial.
I mean, maybe our definitions of insane are a little different.
He went insane in the membrane. You don't want to make me angry, John Roberts said.
It's
That's a very nice 1993 reference.
John Roberts said you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Well,
damn,
I mean,
right,
no,
you
no,
wouldn't.
I know, I know.
Chief Justice?
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
My kids ever acted the way John Roberts did, I would scold them. The way he acted. Angry, yelling. Well, here's the Chief Justice yesterday, the United States Supreme Court.
I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body.
All right, so maybe I built this up too much. Maybe I went a little overboard with my description of John Roberts being angry. But this is angry John Roberts.
This is
all right?
As he can get.
Still more passionate than Mitch McConnell.
Well,
I want to make that point very clear.
That
all right?
True.
One reason it has earned that title is because its members avoid speaking in a manner and using language that is not conducive to civil discourse. In the 1905 Swain trial, a senator objected when one of the managers used the word pettifogging, and the presiding officer said the word ought not to have been used. I don't think we need to aspire to that high a standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are.
Boom! Take that, you pettifoggers.
Pettifogging.
That's right. 855-839-1210 is the number. Mark is in Westchester. Mark, what's our movie of the day today?
It is Arthur.
Yes, the original.
That's right. Great movie.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Enjoy A Woman of No Importance.
Thank you so much. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy. And speaking of A Woman of No Importance, Hillary Clinton was out there saying that Bernie Sanders is not liked by anybody. And the Bern responded. Bernie responded to the idea of Hillary saying that Bernie Sanders is not liked by anybody. And he's got a good point here. Cut six.
Secretary Clinton, as you know, said that as a senator, you got nothing done and that no one likes you. What's your response to that?
On a good day, my wife likes me. So let's clear the air on that one. Look, right now.
On a bad day, though, I could use a female companion who's 29 and a socialist. On a bad day, which is a good day, if you understand what I mean.
Bernie's code right there. Bernie's code.
He's throwing the code out.
On a good day, my wife likes me, but she's under federal investigation and will probably wind up in prison. So I'll need somebody to like me, if you know what I mean. Preferably 22 and studying Karl Marx.
I don't know if that's what Bernie Sanders means, but
possibly.
Right now, today, I am dealing with impeachment. We are very proud that the American College of Physicians has just come on board for Medicare for All. Thousands of doctors did an open letter to the New York Times on Medicare for All. And right now what my focus is on is, outside of the impeachment trial, is doing everything I can to defeat the most dangerous president in modern American history, that is Donald Trump. And that's really about all that.
But Senator, one of the things Secretary Clinton said was about your supporters and criticizing them.
All right, look. Secretary Clinton is entitled to her point of view. My job today is to focus on the impeachment trial. My job today is to put together a team that can defeat the most dangerous president in the history of the United States of America.
Why do you think the secretary is still talking about 2016?
That is a good question. Ask him.
Because she's a blowhard and she doesn't know when to shut up like most broads. That goes on and on and on and on and on.
I was shocked when Tucker Carlson the other night thinks Bernie Sanders can win. Tucker Carlson thinks Bernie Sanders is capable of taking many thousands of Trump voters. I'm curious if you agree with this analysis by Tucker. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't think America's ready for socialism. I don't see it. But this is Tucker.
America remains as divided as it was 3 years ago. So no matter what happens, nobody is going to win this election in a national landslide. Those don't happen anymore. Trump could lose. Will he lose? Well, that depends entirely on what he runs on. In 2016, Donald Trump defeated more than a dozen Republicans and then Hillary Clinton by running as an insurgent, a man from outside the system, flipping the bird to the elites within. Virtually everything Trump said reinforced that message. The people who run this country are clueless. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't care about you. They've hollowed out our economy, crushed the middle class. They've screwed up our foreign policy. They left the door open on our southern border. They're children playing at leadership, and they've gotten rich doing it. The result is a national catastrophe. Now, Trump's campaign summed up that message in a single phrase: make America great again. In other words, let's not lie to ourselves. This is a disaster. The good news is we can fix it. Bernie Sanders may get the Democratic nomination, and if he does, every Republican in Washington will spend the next 10 months reminding you that socialism does not work and never has worked. And they'll be right, obviously. But if Sanders pledges to forgive student loans, he will still win many thousands of voters who went for Donald Trump last time. Why? Because debt is crushing an entire generation of Americans. Republicans need to make a plan to make it better, or they will be left behind.
I mean, that's a far reach. I don't think people think about debt in that sense of when the economy's strong. I just don't think people think about debt in that way. When the economy's strong, they're making money. That's my sense of it. 855-839-1210. Besides, Bernie has crazy people that support him. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, found another crazy Bernie Sanders supporter. This guy's a paid field organizer. All right. And this is what he's talking about. Now, invoking the guillotine, the guy last week that we played was talking about bringing back the gulags, re-education camps. These are the kind of people that Bernie attracts, and they're nuts. I mean, they're straight out of the Karl Marx nutty, nutty, nuttiness book. Take a listen.
I always said, you know, I'm a communist. I'm ready to start tearing bricks up and start fighting. I'm no cop, bro. I'll straight up get armed. I want to learn how to shoot and go train. I'm ready for the revolution, bro.
All right.
Guillotine the rich. So, do we just dissolve the Senate, House of Representatives, the Judiciary Branch, and have somebody like Bernie Sanders and a cabinet of people make all the decisions for the climate? I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
What will help is when we send all the Republicans to the re-education.
Sending the Republicans to re-education camps. I know the audio is a little bit hard to hear, but, you know, revolution, guillotine the rich, send Republicans to re-education camps. I mean, crazy stuff from some of Bernie's supporters. So, you know, if he gets the nomination, all that's all going to come into the light. The kind of people he surrounds himself with, his trips to the Soviet Union, you know, his praise for Cuba. I don't think people want any of that stuff. I think he'd be Bernie Sanders and or America's mother-in-law, my Lotus, would be the two easiest candidates for the president to beat, I think. And everybody keeps talking about Pete Buttigieg as being a tough guy for the president to beat. Buttigieg had to pull a Jeb Bush yesterday. If you remember when Jeb Bush was running the infamous please clap moment and that fledgling campaign. Well, this was Buttigieg yesterday.
By having better hands guided by better values on those pulleys and levers of American government. So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Come on.
All right. Very enthusiastic.
Oh, boy.
So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Come on.
Oh, oh, golly. By the way, he laughs like the clown in the movie It.
It's not.
You notice that? He laughs like Pennywise. Yeah.
Come on.
Tell me that does not sound like Pennywise the Dancing Clown from the movie It. Come on, kids. Get some cotton candy. Dawn's already calling the cops on a guy who laughs like that anyway, right?
I have to say, he shouldn't laugh. Now we know why he doesn't laugh. It's a very creepy laugh.
Now I picture him with a big, like in a clown suit with white mask. And, you'll float too. You'll float too.
Yeah.
Everything is a movie reference in my world. Come on. If you heard that and you were at the circus, your kids would start crying. They would start crying and they go, Daddy, Daddy, take me away from the scary clown. 855-839-1210. Yes.
There is a clown that I'm trying to find it here. There is a clown that he does sound like. I'm trying to find the audio of it.
Pete Buttigieg sounds like a clown?
Yeah.
I mean, my money, it's Pennywise. You got a different clown, you're saying?
I'm trying to see.
This build-up better be worth it.
No. Don't.
Oh, man.
It's not.
Bobo the clown?
No.
Who cares?
No?
I think Buttigieg might be a little bit scarier, actually.
Yeah. Could be like a Scooby-Doo scary clowns.
I think Buttigieg's laugh is probably the scariest laugh I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a creepy laugh.
Right? That's like Joker laugh, kind of, Buttigieg's laugh. 855-839-1210. Cheryl's in Yardley. Let's see. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. I have to agree with Tucker Carlson. This student loan debt is a mess. I have three children that graduated college, and they are swamped with trying to pay back this debt. Sallie Mae is not helping them at all by reducing their rates. And the Republicans have to come up with a better plan. I mean, if he, at the 11th hour, Trump comes up with something that will help these children, he could swing around a lot of votes.
So you think it's that much of an issue that if a candidate were to offer, say, to repay student loans, people would go for that, even though the cost of the economy
absolutely
would be—
my three kids that I've raised as Republicans, absolutely, and that's what's freaking me out, because there's plenty more out there like that.
And do they understand the implications of the economy, though? I mean, that just, you just add that to the cost of the national debt, and that's just—
What they understand is that they bring in $1,500 every 2 weeks, and $1,000 of that is going out to pay their student loan debt. I mean, that's how big it is. So even if there's something, some type of a repayment that would have a lesser interest automatically across the board, things like that would help these children to refocus on what is important.
Do you agree that Pete Buttigieg sounds like a scary evil clown?
Yes, I do. He's young. He happens to appeal to a lot of young people because he's making a lot of promises that they are buying into.
How young? Because I think young kids, if they were at the circus and heard that laugh, they would run.
I agree.
That's what I think. Cheryl, why isn't he getting more traction then if he's appealing to young people? Or do you think he's getting a lot of traction?
I think he will if he winds up being a candidate. I mean, right now there's just too many out there. Because I'm hearing, like I said, my kids, you know, they come out of college, they have careers where they're making a decent amount of money, but it's just not enough. So they're not realizing what us as adults are realizing, that this president's made such a big difference in our economy. They're just looking at their student loan debt. And that's it. They're so tunnel vision. And I think a lot of young people today are so tunnel vision about what's important to them only.
Great perspective, Cheryl. Thank you for that. And have a wonderful day. 855-839-1210. Ricardo is in Delaware County. Ricardo, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I was talking to the guy that answered the phone, but I was trying to get a better feel of what's going on. I kind of tune into you guys, but I don't know if you're a joker, because you laugh a lot, and you always seem to be joking, and this is some serious stuff going on. But, I mean, you seem to be leaning toward—
I'm laughing. Did you hear Pete Buttigieg's laugh? Did you hear Buttigieg laughing?
Well, no, I think he's a great guy, and, you know,
that
but
means,
I'm just saying. But, you know. Yeah, well, I think he's a great guy. I think he has a lot of support,
right,
and I think he could beat Trump, but that's another story. But what I want to ask you, and I'm looking at these hearings on TV or whatever they are, they're questioning, and— You know, and me, if someone was accusing me of all this stuff, wouldn't you want to, and even you, I believe, wouldn't you want to have your witnesses come forward if you had these witnesses to rebuttal this stuff that the Democrats are talking about? I mean, I don't get what's going on here. It's almost like it's a joke, you know, and it's not a joke. This is serious stuff.
So let's get the Bidens on the witness stand. What do you think of that?
Well, what has the Bidens got to do with this?
Corruption in Ukraine. The president, hang on, I'll explain to you. You asked me a question, I'm going to explain to you.
Go ahead.
The president's point is that there was corruption in Ukraine, and he wanted to make sure there wasn't corruption before he gave them our dollars, our tax dollars.
Oh, I don't.
At the center of that corruption is this idea that in Ukraine, the prosecutor was fired who was investigating Burisma, and Joe Biden was bragging about getting the prosecutor fired in exchange for $6 billion or whatever it was of United States money. And that's where the Bidens come into the Ukraine corruption. So to get to the heart of that, to find if the president's telling the truth or not, but he was concerned about corruption, why not bring the Bidens in to find out if they were, in fact, involved in Ukrainian corruption?
Well, the Bidens have nothing to do with it.
I just told you how the Bidens have something to do with it. I just explained it to you.
I don't really believe that.
Okay,
that the Bidens should be in the
fight. You know what? I don't believe in the tooth fairy either, but she's real. All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, we're talking about.
All right, Ricardo, thank you for the call. I just explained to you how the Bidens are involved. You know, don't go back and I explained to you and you go, yeah, well, I don't believe that. No, it's literally Joe Biden bragging about. And they fired the son of a bitch. Joe Biden's words. And he got the money. Prosecutor was fired. Prosecutor was investigating Burisma. Donald Trump didn't make this up. So if you believe Donald Trump that he was concerned about corruption, great. If you don't, like Ricardo doesn't, then you have to get to the heart of whether the president's lying about corruption or not. So then that's where the issue comes in. That's where the Bidens come into it. The president didn't just randomly call Ukraine and go, hey, listen, while we're on the phone, you got any dirt on Joe Biden for me? As the Democrats make it seem, you know, soliciting a foreign government for dirt on his opponent. Ukraine is due money, just like the Obama administration was concerned about Ukrainian corruption before they gave Ukraine the money, which is why Joe Biden says, prosecutors fired or I'm gone in 6 hours. And you can call Barack if you want. They fired the SOB and they got the money. Well, the Trump administration was also concerned about Ukrainian corruption. Unfortunately for the Bidens, they were at the center of it because that move about getting the prosecutor fired and the connection with Burisma is there. That's how the Bidens factor into this. The president didn't just randomly say, what do you got on Biden while we're at it? That's how the Democrats have spun it. That's a lie. So if you want to go down the road of questioning whether or not the president was genuinely concerned about corruption, then do that. And do it. And if you want to say that it's going to turn out that the president was wrong, fine. But he didn't make up the fact that he was concerned about corruption. Whether or not there was corruption by the Bidens doesn't change the fact that Donald Trump was concerned as president that there was with Ukraine, asked Ukraine to look into it. Ukraine still got the money either way, right? None of that changes anything. But you can pretend like it doesn't matter, and that's fine. I mean, this is what happens when you watch too much MSNBC, I guess. The MSNBC loving the Democrats' evidence versus the GOP's rhetoric. They completely ignore the biggest evidence, which is Joe Biden on tape bragging about getting the prosecutor fired in exchange for billions of dollars of United States aid or whatever it was, millions of dollars, whatever it was. They ignore that, right? Here's MSNBC, which is exactly what I mean. Cut 16.
Our colleague Lawrence O'Donnell joins me. What do you see in what the Senate is doing at this moment?
Well, Ari, today what we saw was what we've seen so far is evidence versus rhetoric. The House managers showed up with evidence. They have incorporated evidence into every bit of their argument to obtain further evidence. And it seems like the Trump defense team showed up thinking this was just a procedural day, that all they needed to do was talk about the procedural issues. And what they want to talk about are the procedural issues that are behind us already, not as much the procedural issues that are in this trial. And the House managers have used every minute to lay in the evidence, the actual evidence against the president. And for hours on end, the president's lawyers were not saying a word about evidence, not one word. It was as if they didn't even know the evidence file at this point. And it may just be that they thought today was going to be procedural and they have more homework to do on the evidence. I'm sure they'll have more to say about the evidence eventually. But it was just two completely different presentations.
You know, if that's the case, right, if that's the case, what Lawrence O'Donnell just said, they laid out the evidence. Why are they pushing for more evidence? If they laid out the evidence already in the House trial, in the House hearings, why do they keep pushing for more evidence? The Senate's job is to see the evidence that's being presented to them, been presented by the House as they voted to impeach the president, and then render a verdict on that. But all Democrats want to do is keep introducing more and more investigations. Why the hell would you impeach the guy then if you didn't have enough evidence? And if you did have all this evidence and that's what you're focusing on, why do you want more evidence? The whole thing's a game and people are not buying it. A little bit of the president from Davos today. What do we got here from the big guy?
Would you like to hear what he said about Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff?
I would love that. Thank you.
I know you would. Here we go.
Are you automatically going to go to auto
tariffs? I have a time.
Or is there another avenue other than auto tariffs?
Yeah, great question, actually. I don't have a timeline, but maybe I do in my own mind. They have to move relatively quickly, but they have to treat us fairly. The European Union was formed pretty much for this reason, I suspect. You know, if you really think about it, why was it formed? They formed their...
That's the wrong cut. I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that.
In regards to the proceedings going on in the Senate, would you like to see this over quickly? Would you like to see a thorough examination of the facts? What did you make of the dust-up between the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, and Gerald Nadler last night? And
stop it for a second. Who's asking that question?
Not
Jim Acosta, right?
Was that Jim Acosta?
It
sounds like him, doesn't
it? It does.
Was that question asked from internment journalist internment
camp?
It must have been, right? All right.
In regards to the proceedings going on in the Senate, would you like to see this over quickly? Would you like to see a thorough examination of the facts? What did you make of
the dust-up between the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, and Gerald Nadler
last night? And are you absolutely against John Bolton testifying?
Well, you're asking a lot of questions. First of all, Gerald Nadler, I've known him a long time. He's a sleazebag. Everybody knows that. Pat Cipollone is a high-quality human being. I was very impressed with Pat. He had great emotion yesterday. Pat's a brilliant guy, but I've never seen that emotion. And that's real emotion. That's because he knows this is a hoax. And I was very proud of the job he did. I've known Jerry Nadler for a long time. He opposed many of my jobs. I got them all built, very successfully built in New York. But so we have yet another fight. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it surprising? Isn't it amazing? But if you look at, you know, other aspects or other parts of your question, I think that I would rather go the long way. I would rather interview Bolton. I would rather interview a lot of people. The problem with John is that it's a national security problem. You know, you can't have somebody who's at national security. And if you think about it, John, he knows some of my thoughts. He knows what I think about leaders. What happens if he reveals what I think about a certain leader, and it's not very positive?
That's the president talking about John Bolton. All right. Thank you. That's good right there. Let's see. Gene is in Oakland. Gene, good morning.
Hi. Thanks for allowing me on. I really appreciate it. I'm 80 years old, and I've never seen anything like this. This is the president of the United States that is being accused. Let's hear the evidence. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
I agree with the man that was on prior to the last gentleman. Let's see what's going on. Is it true? Is it not true?
Let's
have the evidence.
Is what true?
It seems to me, I mean, just being an 80-year-old woman, which, you know, means very little, that he did do something wrong. He was out there, and he was trying to get information for his election. That's all that was about.
So then let's hear from Hunter Biden. Let's have Hunter Biden and Joe Biden testify.
Yeah,
right?
And what are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, okay, yes, mm-hmm. Sure. What are you going to find out?
What other evidence do you need?
What's going on? Everybody knows what's going on, what he did. It's not
well,
right.
Then why?
This is America. This is the United
Gene,
States.
Respectfully, then why do they keep asking for more evidence and more witnesses? If everybody knows what he did, why do the Democrats keep pushing for more evidence?
Just to let everybody make sure that it's true. Let's hear the real evidence. If it turns out to be wrong, okay.
Then you have to get Hunter Biden and Joe Biden to testify because they are at the center of Ukrainian corruption, and that was what the president says he was concerned about. That's his defense. You have to hear from the Bidens then. Do you agree with that?
This is about Trump. Not the Biden.
This is about.
We can put
this
them
is about.
On at a later. Put them on at a later time.
Gene,
this is about Trump.
It is about Trump and Trump's defense, and he's entitled to one, like everybody else accused of a crime. His defense mm-hmm. is that I was concerned about Ukrainian corruption, of which the Bidens may have been playing a role in. So wouldn't we have to?
This was not. That is not true. So let's get the facts.
No, it's absolutely true. Greg, do you have the clip of Joe Biden bragging on tape about having the prosecutor fired? It's absolutely true that the Bidens are at the center of this. Joe Biden's son was on the board of Burisma. Joe Biden was vice president when he goes to Ukraine and says either the prosecutor, who happens to be, by the way, investigating his son's company, is fired or I leave with the money. So absolutely the Bidens are at the center of Ukrainian corruption. Take a listen to this.
I'm still trying.
Right, he's pulling it. He's pulling it up. All right. That's we'll play that for you in a second, Gene. But thank you for the call. And, you know, God bless you at 80 years old. I do think you matter at 80 years old. I'm not one of those people that would ever say such a thing like that. I just think that you are absolutely burying your head in the sand if you don't see the connection between the Bidens and Ukrainian corruption based on what Joe Biden said. I mean, that's Joe Biden's own words. That's going to be one of those clips we're going to have handy going forward for the next few weeks for sure. Dawn, I'm sorry. I totally like blew off news because of, well, I blame the president. He kind of threw everything off today.
So this news, the Only Show News, brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. We have 25 degrees right now, but we will be warming up. That's the good news. So Zioli's been talking about Hunter Biden a lot. Yes, Hunter Biden is actually in trouble with the law. So a judge ordering Biden to appear in court to explain why he should not be held in contempt of court. What's this all about? So the son of former VP Joe Biden, he actually missed a deadline to provide discovery, including financial disclosures, in the case brought by the former stripper with whom he fathered a baby. So now the judge says you got to come to court, you have to explain yourself, you have to disclose this. He has tried to get out of paying child support. So they've done DNA testing and so on. So now he's going to court and in trouble with this judge who seems very angry.
This is the stripper, right?
Yes. So this is the stripper who said he fathered the baby. He denied that. They did a DNA test. The DNA test shows, yep, he's the baby daddy. And so now he has to pay child support. Now, on the other hand, he has like a 32-year-old pregnant wife. He has a bunch of kids with his... It's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It's a hot mess.
New Jersey, three new laws quickly. It's official. The sale of flavored vaping products are banned.
New Jersey!
Yes. So Phil Murphy signed it yesterday. He also signed another law which makes New Jersey the first state in the nation to force employers to pay severance to laid off workers. And lottery winners in New Jersey will have the option to remain anonymous. The law directing the State Lottery Commission to set regulations permitting lottery players to keep their identities a secret. This is because a lot of people get harassed.
I like that.
And stalked. Yeah.
I like that.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So we do have news from Wildwood, where police say that they are preparing for this huge wave of Trump supporters that could face 100,000 people. So they're meeting with Secret Service today. They've just tweeted out that in preparation for this large influx of visitors expected on the island next Tuesday, January 28th, for President Trump's big visit, the traffic lights will be back on. You got to remember, this is like in the movie Cars. It's like a sleepy little town in the wintertime.
Right.
So all the lights are flashing. So like, oh my goodness, we got to think of everything. Well, where are people going to park? We got to put the lights back on. So they said as of Wednesday, though, they'll put them back to blinking off-season setting. So it's just sort of funny to hear how they're, you know, it's like this sleepy little shore town and now they're preparing.
You got to catch it. Yeah, you got to do it, right?
All the business people, they're tweeting out, they're reopening. All the businesses are shut down. So it's, you know, it's exciting. Zioli mentioned Peter Pan earlier. So quickly, Walt Disney Studios say they are searching for the next Peter Pan. This is an official search underway. So Disney says they are looking for, quote, boys. So it's not gender neutral. Boys to play the character ages 12 to 14. Boys of any ethnicity, they say. Those auditioning must be available to enter a shoot in Canada April through August of 2020. You have to have a current passport, so you have to have ID. Athletic boys, you got to be athletic in gym, fencing, taiha, kapahaka, or martial arts. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing those martial arts things. And you will get a daily rate for shooting and all expenses paid. So that's the Peter Pan story right there. And this news, Zioli Show News, brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. So certified pre-owned vehicles, visit the certified pre-owned sales event. Going on now through March. Learn more about their special financing rates. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. And as we do our hour of nonstop talk,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.